In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you'll recall, last week we were reading some scripture, and one of the passages we read, I concluded by saying, you know, sometimes scripture is very difficult to understand, but other times it's self-explanatory. And the passage that we read last week was from 2 Corinthians. If you recall, it was, the point is this, he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly, he who sows bountifully reaps bountifully, etc. And we said, you really don't need to explain that, it all makes perfect sense. But there are times in church when we encounter scripture readings that require a little bit of explanation. This morning's epistle reading is an example of that. If a person is not entirely familiar or brushed up on their Old Testament, you might really wonder what St. Paul is getting at in this excerpt from his letter to the Galatians. And he's talking about Abraham, and Abraham had two sons, one a slave and one a free woman. And we know from our study of the Old Testament that when Abraham and Sarah thought they would not have children, that Abraham then went and had offspring with Hagar, his slave. Then later, the child of promise, Isaac, is born. And so this is what St. Paul's talking about. So when he says, the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, the son of the free woman through promise, that's Isaac. And now, why is St. Paul writing to the Galatians? He's writing to the Galatians because some of them have wanted to slip back into the practicing of the Jewish faith apart from being Christian, and overemphasizing the Jewish faith, and overemphasizing the following of the letter of the law over the following of Jesus Christ. And this concerns St. Paul greatly. So he continues, this is an allegory. These women are two covenants, one from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery, that's Hagar. And now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem. She is in slavery with her children, but the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. And so St. Paul is saying, if you follow the law and the law to the letter of the law and do not follow Christ, you are in slavery. But if you follow Christ, you are part of that liberated New Jerusalem. And he is writing this because there are people in that church who are slipping back into their old ways and want to follow the letter of the law perfectly. And yet we know as Christians principally because St. Paul tells us over and over again that you have to be free in Christ. You follow the law in Christ. In other words, if I try to follow the Ten Commandments apart from Jesus Christ, I will fail. And the Ten Commandments will only expose how corrupt I am as a human being, how sinful I am, how weak I am. If I follow the Ten Commandments as a disciple of Christ, as a follower of Christ, as one who is baptized in Christ, I have the power to fulfill the law. The law is no longer slavery for me. It is something that I can live by. That is part of the essence of our beliefs as Christians. And St. Paul is so concerned about this that he really does a little bit of fussing at the Galatian church. Now there's one very important point that we need to glean from this morning's epistle reading. And it's this. Humans, fallen humans, it seems, would rather choose slavery over freedom. This is what happens to the Galatian church. You have all of these people who know about the new life in Christ, who have been baptized in Christ, who are worshiping and receiving Holy Communion, and yet they feel more comfortable backsliding into slavery, into being slavish followers of the law. Human beings, in their fallen state, would rather choose slavery over freedom. Now, does that sound crazy? Well, look at all of the good and wonderful things we have in this world that could lead to freedom or to slavery. Certainly, we've already talked about one of them, and that's religion. That's the new life in Christ. The new life in Christ can lead to freedom. It should lead to freedom. That's why we're here, I hope. And yet, it's easy to fall into slavery, into being slavish followers of the law. And as an aside, we have to be honest, we Orthodox Christians, we can sometimes fall into that too, right? Where we obsess over how many matanyas to do and how to fast and everything. Not that those things aren't important, but we obsess over them at the expense of obsessing over Christ. And then we find even ourselves, we can't follow our own spiritual discipline because we're doing it based on our own will. And we get disappointed with ourselves and we become even more full of self-loathing and despair, as every slave feels. Because it's just easier for us to fall into slavery, and yet we fall into slavery and we don't like it. Well, there are other beautiful and good things in the world that have been created for us that could lead to freedom or slavery. Take all of the wonderful gadgets we have, our smartphones, for example. Those could lead to real freedom for us. We can find the quickest way to get places. We can keep notes for ourselves. We can look up a recipe very quickly. The list goes on and on. Look at all the many things we use our smartphones for. You're watching television, and you say, what movie was that guy in before? And you put it up, and there's this whole list of movie credits right there for you. But the smartphone can lead to slavery, can't it? And we human beings who love slavery, don't we become slaves to it? And all we have to do is just walk around town and see all the people with their noses literally buried in their phones as they walk. And how many people will just randomly pick up their phone and look at it? Last night we had occasion to go to Symphony Hall, and it's amazing. People are out with their families for a night on the town, and yet before the concert starts, everybody is doing what? Checking their phone as if there's something earth-shattering that's about to happen on it. But it doesn't surprise me because, again, fallen human beings would rather be slaves than free. We know a lot today. We know a lot about what's going on in the world, and that's a good thing. It's harder and harder for institutions and politicians to pull things over on us. I like that. And yet, as you've heard me talk about just recently, all of that wonderful information we have, we can become slaves to that as well. And instead of being aware of what's happening politically and keeping informed, we become obsessed over political news. And we're on the internet all the time, checking on the latest quotation from this person or that person. We are obsessed with it to the point where it controls our life and it keeps us from actually really living our life fully. We become slaves, slaves to the news cycle. God has given us treats, things that are wonderful. And yet we take these treats and abuse them and make them vices. Before I came to California, I knew precious little about wine, virtually nothing. And now, having been here about 10 and a half years, I've learned some things about wine and what goes into it and what the different types of wine and how one tastes it, etc. And it is true, it says in the Psalms, that God made wine to gladden the heart of man. It's a treat. And yet, how much do we want to become slaves, and how easy is it for people, instead of sipping a glass of wine or two with dinner and enjoying company of friends, how easy is it to become slaves and to come home from work and indiscriminately open a bottle and have a glass or two or three night after night after night? And that's not surprising because, again, we human beings would rather really be slaves than free. Consider some of the great cultures of the world, massive countries, and they continually opt for governments and political leaders that are oppressive and totalitarian. And given the choice of freedom, they continue to re-embrace totalitarian leaders. And we scratch our heads and say, how could these countries that have produced poets and music and science, how could they continue to want to run after totalitarian leaders? And we say it's easy, because humans would rather choose slavery over freedom. It seems like we're the only ones who don't know it. Advertisers know it for sure, right? Advertisers have us wrapped around their fingers, because they know that that we will surrender our freedom given any opportunity. And the most evil people of the world, the drug dealers and the people who produce awful content for the internet, they know it perfectly. They know that we fallen human beings, fallen human beings, are just so eager to surrender our freedoms and be slaves. Now, just a couple of weeks before Christmas, this might sound like maybe a sobering message. This isn't a very happy holiday message. Isn't this the time of year for merriment and parties? But that's only because you and I think of Christmas the way that postmodern, post-Christian people think of Christmas. But just think about some of the classic Christmas carols, the English Christmas carols we love to sing. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing ye dismay, for Jesus Christ the Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power. That's not a happy line, to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. How about O Holy Night? Long lay the world in sin and error pining. People who wrote these old-timey Christmas carols wrote them because they knew the state of humanity, and they knew why it is we were supposed to rejoice at Christmas time. We're supposed to rejoice because we can be free, because God became one of us to set us free. That's why they're so happy. They're not happy because they're getting the latest Christmas present. They're happy because they know they can finally be free in Jesus Christ. We'll sing Joy to the World, I hope, sometime before now in Christmas. And why is it there is joy in the world? It's because we are saved. So I would say this message this morning, even though it's a bit sobering about slavery and freedom, I would say this is a message of joy and good news. Because this is a good time of year, this Christmas season, for us to kind of own up to the fact that we are fallen human beings, and we are very comfortable in bondage and slavery. And my request this morning, my encouragement, my challenge this morning is to those of us who are comfortable living a life of slavery, then let's get a little bit uncomfortable. And quite frankly, it's easy to get uncomfortable if you are practicing the life in Christ, if you are living the life of the church. Fast. Keep the fast. I've talked about this at the beginning of the fast. And now is the time to really get serious about the fast, because those of us who follow the calendar know that from after December 12th going forward, after the Feast of St. Spiridon, the fast for the 2 weeks before Christmas, not even 2 weeks, 12 days, is a little bit stricter. So even if one has not fasted this season, then just fast strictly for those 12 days. You'll be surprised how things will change. If you want to get uncomfortable, then come to confession. Come to confession and begin the journey away from habitual sin. Begin the journey away from those day after day after day sins that hold us captive. Begin the journey away from the sins that continue to roll around in the back of our mind and haunt us. Be free. And then, yes, as we prepare for Christmas, plan to come to church at Christmas and receive the Eucharist. Very frequently, I will have conversations with pious, believing, lifelong Orthodox Christians who say to me, you know, Father, I know that for 40 years, the church has been saying that the ancient tradition of the church was to receive communion frequently, but that's not the way I grew up. I just can't do it. I was taught you have to receive communion only 4 times a year and prepare for it. And you know, have I ever argued with anyone who said that? I always go, okay, if that's the way you were brought up. Well, if that's the way you were brought up, well, check it out. One of those 4 times is Christmas. So if that's how you were brought up, then I would expect that either on the morning of the 24th or the evening of the 24th, that a combined total attendance of this church would be 400, 500, or 600 people. If you were brought up to receive communion 4 times a year, that's one of your times. So come on, receive the communion. Join one another and Christ at the chalice. Let the Lord come into your body. You see, the entire life of the church is established so that we can be free. St. Paul knew this. St. Paul taught us this from the first days, and he wrings his hands in this morning's epistle. as he looks at this church in Galatia and says, why would you choose slavery over freedom? Why would you want to be children of Hagar when you can be children of the promise? Well, we, dear brothers and sisters, we are children of the promise. We are the children of the New Jerusalem. That's who we are. We're the spiritual descendants of Abraham and Isaac. We are the spiritual descendants of St. Paul in the church in Galatia. We are the New Jerusalem. So a good Christmas present for each one of us would be, at this time of year, to recommit ourselves to being free, to abandoning slavery. I can't imagine a better way to celebrate Christmas. And I think when all is said and done, choosing freedom over slavery is a very simple and easy message to understand.